women's shoes.
And the stallion.
Stallion, baby!
I am not what you would call a handsome man.
I'll kick you in the nuts and you'll smile at me and like it.
All night long.
Well, buddy, another week, and here we are. We are back with episode 1,626 of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast.
It's a milestone episode.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Oh, no.
That's not good. Popular song. It's a milestone, yeah. This is we've been doing this for, it's got to be 7 or 8 years.
At the this point. Longest weekly running episodic radio show
featuring two butt knockers that there's ever been, right?
The first of its kind.
First and last. I am the enforcer, joined always by the stallion, and it's I don't even know what the hell day it is. What is it? I think we should do that every week so people know what episode it is.
It's August 4th.
August 4th. This is gonna be a packed show. There's a lot of pro wrestling to talk. We haven't, you know, maybe we should go. This is a shoot, by the way. We didn't talk about this. Maybe we should try to up it twice a week.
Twice a week, yeah.
Twice a week. Listen. You know, because it's a lot of wrestling to cover in an hour. I start yawning like halfway into the show, and not because I'm tired, but because my mouth isn't used to moving that much. There's a couple of things you could probably. Well. There's
you see where you're going with that. Yeah, you see, yeah, yeah, no, it is. There's a lot, you know, especially now with the schedule of wrestling during the week where there's essentially
new SmackDown, content. NXT, Cruiserweight Classic, Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, G1 Climax, which we probably won't even get to on the show, but that's a good segue. So this week on the show, we are going to talk about Monday Night Raw, Tuesday Night SmackDown. We're going to touch on the Cruiserweight Classic. We're going to touch on NXT, we're going to touch on Ring of Honor TV, and we're also going to touch on Impact Wrestling. That is if Joe actually watched Impact Wrestling.
I did watch Impact Wrestling.
We're going to touch on Impact Wrestling. Yeah, we're good. There's so much to catch up on.
Can I also throw one thing in there? Maybe during the WWE talk, I'm going to call out Ric Flair on this podcast. I'm going to call out Ric Flair on our podcast.
See, that's the difference between you and I. I call out, like, Larry Zonka. Who like 12 people know, and you go right to the helm and you take on Ric Flair. I think I know why you're going to call him out, but you know what? Let's tease it. Let's tickle the balls, if you will.
Just a tip.
Just for a second, just to see how it feels. So let's probably go back and erase those, right? We're PG. Actually, no, let me tell you something. Speaking of, if Enzo Amore can make a depositing reference to Sasha Banks and that's PG, I could say anything I want about balls.
You're right. Balls. I think that's fair game.
Yeah, I think it all is fair. So let's start at the top, and we'll talk about Monday Night Raw. How's that sound?
It sounds good to me.
I cut you off. You were going to say something. Go ahead.
No, that's a good place to start, I think.
I took notes, Joe. I took notes this week. Notes. I'm a note taker. I figured I sound like such a dickhead on the show sometimes because I, you know,
you're being hard on yourself.
Yeah, well, I am. I'm not good. But you know what it is? I got so much knowledge in my head, and I watch so much wrestling, and like I always think about the things that I want to talk about afterwards, or you know, we get on the show, we start talking about, you know, things, Beavis and Butthead, you know, cleaning bathrooms. We start talking about some stuff, and I get sidetracked. So when I'm watching these shows now, from what I'm doing, I'm grabbing my Nextel. I'm opening the notes app.
Your Palm Pilot.
My Palm Pilot with the squiggly thing. We used to have that at Party City. What was the name of that thing? The RF. They used to call it the RF. Do you remember that? Not Rob Feinstein. No, not him. Definitely never him.
Definitely not.
So I'm taking some notes, and I think I'm going to sound like less of a dullard this episode.
Well, I don't think you're a dullard on any of these episodes, but I mean, I certainly appreciate the research and the preparation that you're doing on behalf of, you know, the fan of the All Night Long podcast.
I will tell you, I've got probably 4 or 5 paragraphs worth of notes and one note I have in here. It's all bullet point. Is Eva Marie is terrible. So we'll touch on that. But let's start at the top, Joe. Tell me, you know, we don't have time to go through every single segment, mm-hmm. but
the key points of Raw,
bullet points of Raw.
So I think a couple of things that were the focal points of the show, right? So one was the return of Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman to the show for the first time since WrestleMania, I believe. Then there was the follow up to the week prior, which was Finn Balor winning the number one the contender spot to face Seth Rollins at SummerSlam for the soon to be created WWE Universal Championship. And then I think those were pretty much the key spots. I don't know if there's more to it than that. There's kind of setting up a feud for Enzo and Cass. That was new.
Well, they set up the Divas segment in the opening of the show.
Right. They followed up on Charlotte and Sasha Banks' rematches set for SummerSlam. That turned into a mixed tag of Charlotte and Chris Jericho versus Sasha Banks and Enzo.
As per usual, I have a lot of issues with Monday Night Raw. You know what's in a, well, it's like amateur hour when you're holding your cell phone that next to the microphone and you could actually hear the vibrate. So, I'm blaming the natural, you know, I completely blaming her. But listen, the show opened with a Sasha promo and then Charlotte came out, got the heat, you know, she got her heat. And then Jericho came out and I thought that was good. But I thought the back and forth between Enzo and Jericho was awesome. That was probably the most enjoyable I found Chris Jericho to be, and I think it's because he was playing off Enzo, but you know, the whole Enzo and Sasha thing, I thought it worked that well, and it led to a mixed tag match. I've got a serious issue with the mixed tag match. Sasha Banks getting pinned 1 week after winning the title, who books that? You know, has she been pinned yet in WWE?
Just once, I think.
Once.
And I think it was Charlotte as well in a match. I think it was leading up to the tag match at Battleground. I think leading into that, something similar occurred where Charlotte hit her with the natural selection, whatever it was, and
beat her that way. You're not going to like this analogy, but that's why you and I make a good team. I'm Eli Manning, and you're Odell Beckham. I am not very good at what I do, but sometimes I throw things up in the air, and out of nowhere, I know you're good enough to catch them.
I'm going to let that go. Yeah,
because it was a compliment in like a real backhanded, dickish kind of way.
The Eli talk, that's no good.
It's okay. It could be
worse.
He's
a two-time Super Bowl MVP.
He is, and I congratulate him for that. It could be worse. You could have 17 players suspended or on drugs or in jail or gaining 45 pounds because of purple drank. Way to go, Rolando McClain. Sipping scissor, right? Anyway, but so back to it real quick. I understand the thought process behind it, and I like it. I do like, you know. But you also have to think that that if they're going to tease the Charlotte getting her title back, and you're going to have the rematch at Summerfest, mm-hmm. I guess you have to kind of, and you only have, what, 3 episodes of Raw before then?
Maybe. Yeah, I guess counting less this week, right? They have 2 more.
They have 2 more, so I probably would have had, if you're going to have Sasha lose clean via pin, you might want to do it. First of all, Enzo and Jericho in that match should be pinned. That's fine. You could pin either one of those guys, and it's not going to hurt either one of them. Enzo could talk his way out of a paper bag, and Chris Jericho, nobody cares because he's Bon Jovi. But I just probably wouldn't have had Sasha win the title week one only to lose clean week two. I think that's just really lazy, and it really takes away from Sasha, who was damn near untouchable for almost the year after she came up. So.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I mean, actually...
I like it when we agree.
Yeah, I mean, that was the only thing I was going to add to that about the match, and you hit on it right away. So that was... I just don't like stuff like that. I don't like champions getting pinned, generally speaking. I especially don't like them getting pinned right after they just won the title. That's, I think, so it just bad. Makes them look weak.
I'm going to, however, later on in the show, I'm going to tell you an instance in which a champion could have been pinned and it would have been okay with me this week.
Oh, okay.
Another teaser. All continuing right. To tickle. Right. Tickle the toes, Joe. Actually, you know what? I'll just get into it because I forgot it was on the same show. Rusev.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I'm okay with you bringing back Mark Henry. I'm actually totally okay with bringing back Mark Henry because, you know, you want some depth in the roster, and the Olympics are coming up. Mark Henry's going to act as a liaison because he's an Olympic medalist. If you're asking me, you don't just give a guy who hasn't wrestled in 6 months a title shot. if you wanted to get Mark Henry back over, get him back in the minds of fans, then you give him a match against Rusev. You tell him to prove himself in a non-title match. And I actually would have been okay with Mark Henry beating Rusev in a non-title match this week, as long as it would have led to Rusev winning the, you know, in the inevitable title match. But to me, I don't know, I was watching that segment, and I think you, maybe you brought it up, or BK brought it up, that it would have been the perfect time to bring out Kurt Angle.
Oh, yeah, maybe I might have mentioned something like that.
I think that, I believe that was you. And after the segment, you know, you're wanting to get Mark Henry back on TV, and I'm sure, I think he's making a ton of money, right?
I think he has these long-term contracts, right? So I don't know exactly what his deal is. I think it's supposed to be up soon because there's been talk of him retiring and all of that.
Yeah.
You know, him and Big Show and guys like that. Whatever amount of money they're making is probably way more than they should be at this stage of the game.
You think they're making more than I am?
I'm going to go ahead and say they're probably making more money than both of us combined, I'm going to say.
I feel like I might work harder than the Big Show at my job.
Seems like Big Show's not going to be wrestling again until WrestleMania against Shaq.
Well, that's all the time we have for you today. No, but would you have hated it if Mark Henry beat Rusev in a non-title match on Raw?
If it was, I mean, I think it depends on what you're planning to do. Yeah, I probably would have. I probably would not have liked that just because Henry's not been on TV for a long time.
Right.
I would be okay in a scenario that like that if you're taking a new contender and building them up to an eventual, like, for a feud, and then later a title match with somebody new. I don't know who would be a good example of somebody like that. Maybe, like, Sami Zayn or something like that. Maybe would be the way to go. Henry, to a guy who, like you had said, like, he hasn't really wrestled on TV very much, and they kind of pulled him out of mothballs to show up, essentially, and he just did a job, so.
Mothballs. Yeah, that was weird to me how he did the job, and, I mean, I guess it's really going to depend on what they're going to do with him,
you know? Well, yeah, I think realistically what it was, the whole thing was a setup for Roman Reigns to come out and set up that feud for him and Rusev, right? That's where that's all leading. It seems like that's where it's now heading, is Reigns is taking a step down from the main event and the world title, and he's going to be...
The Universe title? The Universal title?
Sure.
The Neptune title?
The Saturn
title?
The Pluto title. Oh, no, Pluto's not a planet anymore.
No, it is again.
Is it?
I think it is.
Oh.
I'm going to ask Siri.
Okay.
Mute that real quick while I ask Siri.
The Uranus title. So...
Uranus.
So he's going to take a step back. You know, unfortunately, it's just kind of weird as I say that, and challenge for the U.S. title, it looks like, against Rusev. So that whole segment, I guess, was just designed to put Rusev over again and then lead into a feud with Reigns. I'm going to assume it's going to culminate at SummerSlam. I don't want it. It's not been signed, but it certainly seems like it's heading in that direction.
I really feel like they would have done so much better for themselves not having two pay-per-views a month. And giving them more time to develop these storylines, because they do feel rushed now, you know? Feels like they're really trying to... They're kind of... everything's in fast forward. It's like I'm watching the movie Click every Monday night. Man, that movie sucked. It only sucked because, like, it made me cry, like, a lot. It was a guy cry movie. That and Brian's song. And Rudy. And actually, Goon. Goon got me.
Goon got you?
Goon got me.
Tugging at the heartstrings?
He's so little. I'm just thinking of Jon Favreau and Rudy now. But back to what we were talking about. Yeah, Roman Reigns, he'll probably have a decent match with Rusev. Do you think they're going to put the title on him at SummerSlam?
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, Rusev's had it for... He took it, what, just after WrestleMania?
Yeah. Right?
So he's had it for... He'll have it for about 4 months or so by the time SummerSlam rolls around. It would not surprise me for him to lose it. I mean, I would... Be fine with them keeping it on him. It would not surprise me if Reigns won it there, unless they're telling a different story with Reigns, which I don't know, like, where they're going with that. Like, if he's going to lose again and become frustrated by the fact that he can't win the titles lately and all that type of stuff, or if they're just going to kind of put him into, like, the role that Cena was in a year ago, where he's a main event type guy with the United States Championship, you know, kind of maybe bringing some more prestige to it. He ends the reign of Rusev, who beat a bunch of mid-card guys for 4 months. You know, I could see them going two different directions. We'll see.
Didn't they do this 2 years ago at WrestleMania with Cena and Rusev?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Thinking of Raw, what else do we have for Raw? Anderson Gallows? That's Raw. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that was the New Day. They fought the New Day, basically.
Yeah, and they lost.
And they lost in like 3 minutes.
I take issue with Anderson and Gallows losing cleanly. Mm-hmm. I believe it was a clean loss. If your end game for SummerSlam is Anderson and Gallows versus the New Day for the tag team titles, I have a big issue with them losing clean 2 weeks before in a 5-minute match.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know why they do that type of stuff. You could have easily done a DQ finish, you know, or what I would have done if you're gonna book them against each other before and then just continue to build it up to a pay per view match, right? Why not have them go 15 minutes where Anderson and Gallows like have trouble beating them, like they hit their finisher, like things happen, like they can't beat them, and then one of them just comes in and hits Kofi with a chair, and it's a DQ, and they just kind of go that route. That way, it's 15-minute match, it's a strong match. You know, there's no decisive winner. They had them beat, but they couldn't actually finish the job, and then they get frustrated and they hit him with a chair or something like that, and it's a DQ, and then they end up just rematching them at SummerSlam and maybe actually winning at that point, rather than losing in 2 to 3 minutes via a roll up. And then doing a post-match beatdown.
I agree. Or if you wanted to, you could run the Big E injury angle during the match and have the match called off. And then that would give Anderson and Gallows reason to want a rematch.
Sure. Yeah, instead, it makes them look like badasses. Clean. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not a big fan of that either.
That's
yeah.
like me like at work getting like a bad review and like 5 minutes later being like, I want a raise. It's like you don't have a leg to stand on. I don't know how they're gonna do it. They're going to want Big E and Kofi, and well, they're going to want retribution, blah, 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 getting the titles, blah, 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 blah. But anyway, so I'm not – that was a tough segment for me. What did you think of the main event? We didn't even talk about this. Sami Zayn versus Seth Rollins. Yeah.
I thought it was good. It was designed to give Rollins a win and get him over. I think that's what it did. I wish they had something in mind for Zayn. I don't know what they have planned for him right now. I mean, they just had that, you know, kind of a nicely built blow off with him and Owens at Battleground, and he won. And now I don't know what they're doing with him.
I agree. I was a little bit underwhelmed by the match. I think maybe just because I had such high hopes for it, I was slightly underwhelmed by that match. But I agree with you. I mean, so you have a Raw where Sami Zayn loses. Finn Balor doesn't wrestle. Kevin Owens doesn't wrestle. They're both on the show. And then you have Neville wrestle on Superstars. That's a tough pill to swallow in a 3-hour show with a half roster. You know? There was a Golden Truth match versus Los Matadores.
Shining Stars.
Yeah. I'm never going to remember the name Shining Stars. So from now on, I'm going to call them Tito Santana. What did Bobby the Brain Heenan call him?
Chico
Santana. Oh, those are the days.
Well, I think Jesse Ventura called him Chico Santana, right?
Was that?
I think it was Jesse the Body.
I don't know.
I forget what Bobby the Brain called him, though.
Probably something awesome. God knows. But I just think they're not using their roster to their capabilities right now. And it's hurting. You know how you can tell it's hurting, Joe? Because I believe numbers back up our theory.
So you want to talk ratings?
I want to talk ratings because, frankly, you are the man when it comes to this, and you got the breakdown.
Well, Mike, if we look at viewership for this week's episode of Raw, the average viewers they did were 3,314,000 or so.
Okay.
That's a dip from the week before, which was the first, I guess, official brand split Raw, which is at 3,338,000 on average. Viewers for that show. So they dropped, what was that, maybe like 24,000 viewers-ish from last week to this week. So that's not horrible. I mean, they did have a significant jump from the last Raw before the new era, which was 3,133,000. So they actually jumped like 200,000 viewers for the first episode of the new era on average. But this week dipped down a little bit, down about 24,000 viewers. But I think the key is when you look at the hour breakdown, if you look at it that way, they actually dropped like from hour one to hour two, it's like maybe a drop of 70,000 viewers. But then from hour two to hour three, you drop like
half a million,
300,000 people stop. Like they don't tune into the main event. Whereas the week before, it's only like 100,000 viewer drop, not even. So it's like it kind of, at least at that match, people wanted to see the result of the 2-4-way winners, which was Reigns and Balor. And then they wanted to see the main event. I think that's like kind of what that would tell you. With this, they didn't really have an announced main event. Like, we just ended up just being where the main event was when Brock came out. So, I mean, they didn't really say, at least from what I remember, they didn't say when he was appearing. Like, if they would have said
the show. No, we were watching it, and we're like looking at the watches, you know, and be like, what's going on? But I feel like you have some very strong opinions on the way Brock Lesnar was booked on Monday Night Raw.
I mean, so the things that bug me about that are, and I know it's been talked about, I'm sure anybody who reads internet dirt sheets, things like that, or reviews of these shows. So the segment was a standard Lesnar segment. Heyman did a promo, talked for about 10 minutes or so, built up Lesnar. Lesnar's facing Randy Orton at SummerSlam. So it turns out that because of the brand split, that Lesnar's on Monday Night Raw and Randy Orton is on SmackDown Live. So it's actually a quote, inter-promotional match. So, okay, I can deal with that because they booked that match before the brand split and it turns out they're on both shows. That's fine. But they've booked programs before, like with Undertaker or Brock Lesnar, where guys don't even show up on the shows to promote the match. But what they did here was they immediately had Randy Orton show up on Raw, run through the crowd, and hit Brock Lesnar with an RKO. So again, I'm not angered by the fact that he hit Lesnar with an RKO, but the fact that he appeared on Raw on the second episode of Raw after the brand split, I don't like that at all. And then, not to go and jump into SmackDown right away, which I know we're going to get to in a minute here anyway, but Lesnar showed up on SmackDown and then interfered in Orton's match and gave him an F5. So they're already having guys from the opposite shows show up on the brand that they're not a part of, like 2 weeks into the brand split. And that, to me, makes it weak, because that's supposed to be special when that happens, and they're already doing it now.
I agree. On one hand, though, I will tell you the only way I would have been okay with Randy Orton showing up on Raw, that would be as if Randy Orton comes out, RKOs Brock Lesnar, and then the next night, that's like the starting point. The next night, they now decree nobody from Raw goes to SmackDown, nobody from SmackDown goes to Raw, and that's it. And then the kind of the battle lines have been drawn. But now it's just this already, like you said, a weekend. It's convoluted. Who knows what? And another thing that I understand why they're doing it, but I don't like it. The main event of the dark matches are both Raw and SmackDown guys.
Right. Yeah.
So it's very confusing already, and I'm afraid that it's only going to get worse. And I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer, because the show last week was so good. You know, I understand it's tough to keep the momentum, but you took like 3 steps forward, and then you took like maybe 2.5 steps back. I'm still giving you the benefit of doubt, because Seth Rollins had a very good program with Finn Balor. I really like their face off, but that was probably the thing I liked most about Monday Night Raw. How about you?
Yeah, that was fine, and I think Cesaro won a match. That was nice. Other than that, I don't really have.
Oh, much. He beat Sheamus. Yeah. Yeah. Can I just bring up how Neville was on main event?
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't even know where to be. Like, I hate what they're doing. Like, are they? Do you think he's just kind of chilling out in purgatory until they bring the cruiserweights over? You think
probably.
Okay.
Probably. I mean, right now, the only cruiserweights, they don't really have cruiserweights, right? Except for the ones that they're going to either sign or bring up from when the Cruiserweight Classic ends. So they're going to have those guys, and I think they're going to need to add Neville into that.
Let me tell you something. If you put Neville next to Jack the Gentleman from the Cruiserweight Classic, they're going to look like a different species. Because Neville's maybe just shy of 200. Maybe. But Neville is shredded. So to have him as a cruiserweight compete next to Harry and Marv Shearer. No, those are the guys from
That's Home Alone 2.
Yeah.
Home Alone and Home Alone 2.
Yes.
Me.
And even Home Alone 3. No, not Home Alone 3. So yeah, to have the Wet Bandits on TV, yeah, and they're like 167 pounds standing next to a guy like Tony Nese, or next to, you know, a guy like, that's a very, very large gap for the cruiserweight title. So it's going to be interesting to see what they're going to do with it. And trust me, it's not all about, oh, here we go, it's not the size that matters, it's how you use it, whatever small penis innuendo you want to use. I understand, you know, you have smaller guys in the Finn Balor is not a big guy, you know, and Daniel Bryan wasn't a big guy, but some of these dudes in the Cruiserweight Classic, you look at them and you're like, man, these dudes are like legitimately tiny, you know? So it'll be interesting to see what they do with the Cruiserweights, because it just looks to me like, if you, I assume you're going to have maybe the Cruiserweight Classic winner if he's under contract, depending on who it is, wrestle somebody for the Cruiserweight title or something like that.
That would make the most sense, sure.
My question to you is, do you think they know who the winner of the Cruiserweight Classic is yet?
I don't know if they know the winner. I assume it's down to probably, you know, a small handful of guys that, you know, two or three at most, I would say, at this point. They're certainly promoting one guy as the favorite to win it.
Simon Gotch.
No. No, he got a can of soda thrown in his face, so it's not him.
He got his ass whooped by Sin Cara.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's not him.
Okay. So we'll see what happens, but put Neville on the main show. Have him do something.
It's not like they don't have plenty of time to fill.
They got plenty of time to fill. That moves us over. I feel like we're starting with the worst and we're moving upwards. So you know what? We're getting our negativity out of the way. We're getting the bad juju out of the way. And now we're over to SmackDown. I'm just going to start off by saying, I think, what we're all thinking. Sometimes when I watch SmackDown, I see people come out and I hear people's music, and it makes me appreciate times when Eva Marie is not on my TV. I don't know about you, but...
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
Every time she walks out, she had... Did you listen to her theme song?
I've listened, yeah.
It's like, what is the... I don't even know where to begin. It's like literally the worst thing I've ever seen.
I guess that's the idea, right? Is they're trying to make it where it's not a joke per se, but
it is a joke. The whole women's division on SmackDown is a joke. I'd rather watch a Rick Steiner singles push than the women's division on SmackDown. Not because they're bad wrestlers, but because there were two matches scheduled for SmackDown and neither of them started.
You're a fan of Rick Steiner, I see.
Yeah. Wow. He's a good for him. He's a principal now in Michigan. A lot of
running bulldogs. All right.
Bulldogs. Well, he almost did kill Buff Bagwell.
Yeah, that's right.
Just like Vince McMahon almost killed the women's division on SmackDown. Look at that. That's a circle of life, my friend. It's bringing it full circle. But I think they are. I like what they're doing, Natty. They're giving her that push. You know, they're giving their butt. Show me some wrestling, you know. Show me a women's match. I like Carmella, but her gimmick is...
It's DOA, bro.
I was going to say it's on life support, and I was going to play Taz's intro music, but I didn't
think... You could hear a pin drop during her entrance.
Yeah, you could... Have her. I want to see a program between Eva Marie and Carmella and see what happens. I didn't like what they did with it, and I don't like what they're doing with. Although it's funny because the focal point of Raw, one of the top three segments on Raw, is Sasha and Charlotte. And I couldn't even tell you what the main focus of SmackDown is aside from Dean Ambrose. But
yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, you have Dean Ambrose, and then you have I would say the women's are maybe like the fifth or sixth most important thing on that show right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think this week's show was built around the Ambrose Ziggler stuff, which I thought they did a nice job with this week, and Alpha debut. I think that's basically what they were, from what I, you know, when I watched the show, what I took away from it was that they came up with a number one contenders match for the Intercontinental title, which Apollo Crews, not Creed, won a triple threat.
Nothing like starting off the show with a giant blunder.
He beat with Baron Corbin and Kalisto, right? He pinned Kalisto in a three-way. So now he's a number one contender to the Intercontinental Championship that the Miz has. Mm-hmm. So whether that's on SummerSlam, I don't want to make assumptions, but I'm going to...
It's Summerfest, Joe. When are we going to get over this?
You're right. You should ban me from the Summerfest.
Ban you from the $185 it costs to take a picture with Dean Ambrose?
I thought you were going to say the 4.5 hour, five hour show that's going to be on a couple weeks.
Really? How about the 2-hour and 8-minute show once we get the DVR? Fast forward through all the Ryback matches.
That's old news, bro. He's gone, man. Ryback. Pre-show stopper.
Pre-show stopper. Feed me more pre-shows, right? Wait, where are we going? Because I got sidetracked thinking.
No, we were talking about the focal points of SmackDown, right? So we talked about the women's stuff. They had two
American Alpha squashed the
Vaudevillains.
Vaudevillains.
They had the two women's matches that ended up not starting. So there was that, and then the Ziggler and Ambrose stuff kind of bookended the show, right? They had the promo in the beginning of the show where you and I were talking offline earlier about how, you know, which one of them, if one of them, is going to be portrayed as the heel in the feud. Like, Ambrose kind of said some heelish stuff during the promo. Ziggler kind of got a little heelish towards the end of the show. Ziggler ended up putting his number one contender spot on the line against Bray Wyatt. That was the main event. You know, the D. Bry and Shane were kind of telling him, you know, you don't need to do this. Like, you don't have to. He's like, no, I have to do it. I got to prove myself, type of thing. Kind of, he taught, basically, Ziggler kind of told him to screw off before he went after the main event. And he beat Wyatt relatively clean, right? They took the turnbuckle off. It was kind of that whole deal.
With the super kick. All of a sudden, the super kick is like a Ryu fireball. Like, everybody's pinning, getting pinned after a super kick, which is hilarious to me because he used it as a transitional move a week ago. But neither here nor there. And, you know, you want to get the guy over. How about have him beat Bray Wyatt? Like, why? There's so many different people on the roster, and you're just going to keep jobbing Bray Wyatt out.
I'm sorry.
I understand you want to make Ziggler look strong, and I think that's a great way to do it. But the wrong guys continually keep losing on the show, and eventually there's going to be no coming back. They were lucky this week because people forgot that Bray Wyatt lost because Eric Rowan came out, and they kind of reformed a little bit of the Wyatt family. I'm sure next week, I'm looking into my crystal ball here, you're going to see Rowan and Wyatt versus Ambrose and Ziggler. Little dissension between Ambrose and Ziggler, yada, yada, yada. And then, all, you know, that'll lead to the 1 week away, and then it'll lead you right into SummerSlam.
Yeah. The one other thing, I guess, from SmackDown that I'll mention is they did a AJ Styles and John Cena promo segment as well, which I thought was well done. Set up a rematch with those guys for SummerSlam.
Is it me that John Cena kind of come off like a douche in some of this?
That's usually how he comes off in a lot of this.
I love John Cena, and I like a lot of what he said about he has a love for the business and stuff like that, but he kind of came off like very condescending to AJ, saying, oh, all you are is a good wrestler. Yeah, it's wrestling.
That's the idea.
That's the idea. And he's just going to get up and leave and go somewhere else if he can't make it there. Like, I'd be pretty... I feel like he might have been shooting a little bit. He might have been shooting.
Maybe. But, I mean, the reality of the situation is, right, everywhere that AJ Styles has gone, he's won titles everywhere. So it's not like, you know, he insinuates, like, oh, if it doesn't work out for him, he'll just go somewhere else. Like, well, he's gone everywhere, and he's won titles everywhere. And
every single place he's gone, yeah. So
it's not like he's gone somewhere and it didn't work out for him and he just left because he couldn't cut it. Like, he's been the top guy in, you know, New Japan and TNA and Ring of Honor and for the last 15 years, and, you know, now he's on SmackDown and he should be and is one of the top guys there, and hopefully he'll win the title at some point. But I thought that was a good segment, at least setting up a rematch. I'm extremely nervous about that at SummerSlam. I don't have a good feeling about it.
I had a bad feeling about it, and I had a worse feeling when AJ Styles said John Cena has to come out and admit AJ Styles is better than he is on the night after. So I don't see John Cena losing that match.
So let me I'll give you the viewership for SmackDown.
How did SmackDown do this week, buddy? We should have like a sound drop with when this plays.
Nerd stats? Can we do something about nerds? Yeah.
Nerd HQ, bro.
So I'm going to give you the viewers, and then I'm going to see, I want to ask you which show you thought was better this week. So the viewership for SmackDown was about 2,681,000 viewers. That's down from 2,743,000 the week prior, and then way down from the draft the week before that. So down a little bit, less than 100,000 viewers, but still down, I would say. I don't know if that's a huge drop in the grand scheme of things. If you look at the numbers that they were doing pre-brand split, they're definitely still just way above that.
Yeah, just about 2 million, right?
Yeah, so they're definitely better than they were. Hopefully they can at least sustain that now that they've got some bigger names headlining the show and it's more stabilized. So which show did you think was the better show this week? And last week we both were universally on Raw as the much better show. Which one did you think was better this week?
SmackDown, far and away. Raw was a Hugh Grant movie this week. It was... God, it was awful. Absolutely awful show on Raw. I did enjoy SmackDown. Raw is going to get a solid C- from me, and I'm going to give SmackDown a solid C+.
Wow. Really? C+ for SmackDown?
Yeah.
Well, you're a tough grader. I'm not taking any of your classes. If I was in college, I would not be taking you as a professor.
Well, not many people signed up for how to be
advanced geometry.
Douche 101.
That's what you'd be teaching.
How to be a douche 101. Overachiever and underperforming. There we go. That's my class. Anyway.
No, Mike, it's not. No, so I mean, that's interesting. I guess I would give Raw a C for being
average.
You would
give that box of dung a C?
Would you give it a C minus?
Yeah.
It's only like one letter grade up.
No, it's a half a letter grade.
Yeah. It's not that much.
Maybe it
is. So basically anything I say is wrong. That's what you're telling
me? No,
I just whatever I give is just not appropriate. If it's not exactly what you say, right, it's not the right thing.
I just feel like maybe you should see yourself to a new grading system. Am I right? Why don't you give a 7.4, Zonka? You putz.
I'm still going to give it a C, even though apparently it's being challenged immediately. Whatever I give it is apparently just the worst. So I'm the worst. All right. So I would give it a C just for an average. It had a couple good things in it that I liked. You know, a lot of stuff in it that I didn't like. So just give it. It's an average show for me. SmackDown I thought was pretty solid. I would probably give it like a B minus, I guess. You know, something.
Oh,
like
hold that. Hold on. Pump the brakes here. Pump the brakes. What was the name? So here's my question.
You stop in the middle of insulting me to try to remember a reference from something.
Yeah, I did. Then I realized it wasn't air friendly. We're trying to keep PG here. I'll deposit something. So I'm a harsh grader, but a C plus to a B minus is literally a half a grade, and that makes me a harsh grader.
Yeah.
Oh, what's good for the goose isn't good for the jerk off. Me being the jerk off. So you could grade it on your scale, and you could say, "Oh, I'm such a harsh grader." You know, you're.
I grade on my. That's why it's my scale. Yeah.
Yeah, it's my scale over here too. So why don't you? The battle lines have been drawn. Okay, you are the Von Erichs. I'll be the Freebirds. Is anybody going to get that? Does anybody get the reference? No, nobody. You could be Hakushi. I'll be Bret Hart.
I'll be the Can-Am Connection.
You'll be the Can-Am. Nice. I'll be Strikeforce.
All right.
I thought, you know, but there was, what, four matches on SmackDown? I'm a purist, Joe. I'm a wrestling fan, okay?
So you didn't like the American Alpha match?
The 3.5-minute glorified squash of a punished Simon Gotch? It wasn't bad. You know.
It's a showcase. I mean, I think it's really what it is. Right? It's just to get them their first match on main roster television, right? So they probably could have used two jobbers in that role. They decided to use the vaudevillains because of, probably like you said, because Simon Gotch is in the doghouse, as per he got a can of Tab thrown in his face.
Nice.
Of RC Cola.
I was going to say, he took a surge to the
Mountain
chest.
Dew.
Well, it's funny that Simon Gotch is in the doghouse and he has to job in 3 minutes. And Roman Reigns is, quote unquote, in the doghouse. He's going to win the U.S. heavyweight title. Mm. What's good for the goose isn't good for the guy who does Adderall. It's
there
a second goose reference in like 15 seconds. Aside from those two, quote unquote, big shows, the quote unquote shows that everybody pays to see, I get texts all the time from the show. I'd be like, don't talk about New Japan. All I want to talk about is wrestling. That's not true, actually. The most texts I get from the show are from RJ, who, out of nowhere, like 3 o'clock in the morning, he'll be like, Honma is the man. Or he'll be like, Shibata is the man. I'm like, those are the text messages I appreciate. There have been people talking about us. We have a little bit of a buzz on the internet, Joe. A little bit of a buzz on the underground forum, on the UG, old school MMA forum. Somebody said they like that Mikey character. Little do they know that all the self-deprecation, not a character. I wake up and I carry that through my day.
So
I guess that'll go ahead.
I don't know, but I was gonna say, can I call out Ric Flair now before we jump into the NXT and Cruiserweight Classics of things?
I kind of want you to wait and call out Ric Flair at the very end.
At the end,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, you're calling him out on something based upon.
I was gonna do it now because it was topical.
All right.
If you want me to wait, I can do that to the end.
Much like Benadryl, Joe, make it topical.
Like an ointment? Is that what you're saying?
Drawing solid.
So I'll make this quick because I know we want to get onto the other stuff. So Ric Flair does a podcast of his own, and last week, after the first episodes of the brand split Raw and SmackDown, he made a couple of statements that I found to be confusing, and I'd like to challenge those on our podcast.
Okay.
Number one.
Are we going to tag Ric Flair in this after we post it?
Sure.
I would love to get Ric Flair liquored up at 4 a.m. and have him debate us on the air.
That's fine. So, number one, he said that Roman Reigns should have beaten Finn Balor in the main event of Raw 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
I think that ship has sailed. They've gone down the Roman Reigns road multiple times already, since November. Regardless, I still think that's not the way to go. So he thought Reigns should have won that. Reigns has won the title 3 times since November. He's been in the main event of all his pay-per-views. He's not over with the fans, and he just failed the drug test. You can't put that guy back in. I would not have put him back in a title picture. I would not have had him win over Finn Balor. I would not have done any of that. So I definitely disagree with Flair.
In all fairness, Ric Flair isn't the type of guy that's going to punish somebody for doing drugs.
That's fair. Be honest here. That is okay. So that was the first thing. The second thing was he said that he would pay to see Dolph Ziggler versus Dean Ambrose before he would pay to see Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor. If someone could explain to me what kind of money that Ambrose and Ziggler are going to draw after Ziggler just jobbed to Baron Corbin on pre-shows for the last 3 months, and Ambrose's drawing power was killed off long before he was even the champion to begin with, I'd like him to explain that one to me and why he'd rather watch that match than Seth Rollins, who's a legitimate top guy, and Finn Balor, who's a brand new star that they're bringing up from NXT, who is pretty over as a babyface from NXT and hopefully will continue to do so on the main roster. So that was pretty confusing to me. I don't quite understand that line of thinking that he had on there. So if
I feel like you're tiptoeing around what you really want to say. You don't want to offend Ric Flair. Let it out, Joe. Let out your true feelings.
That the old man's lost it? Is that what you want me to say?
Yes.
That's where I'm going with that.
He has lost
it. He's lost it.
He absolutely
He's not in touch with, I think, what fans want to see and what's going to be successful right now.
I bet you that if it was up to Ric Flair, he would put the belt on Batista.
I'm sure. And yeah. Oh, that was the other thing. I forgot. The last thing.
Did he really bring up Batista?
No, the Orton thing. Remember what I said the other day? So he said that. So last week, I think we buried it pretty good. I know I buried it in anybody that would listen to me talk about it. When Orton came back on SmackDown last week and wrestled The Miz, right? He beat him in 3 or 4 minutes, and in the middle of those 3 or 4 minutes, gave him an RKO and sat in the ring for legitimately 90 seconds, and then just got up and gave him another RKO. Basically buried the Intercontinental Champion.
Buried The Miz.
All right, and he had buried Jericho the night before, essentially, and Brock. He made all these sarcastic comments and all this type of stuff. Yet Ric Flair says that now that Orton's back, he's clearly the best performer in the business that they have right now. So that means he's better than John Cena. He's better than AJ Styles. He's better than Seth Rollins. He's better than Brock Lesnar. He's better than all these guys, right? Guys, I'm sure I'm forgetting.
Bray Wyatt.
Forgetting all. He's better than all these guys. He's only the best, though, because Triple H is not actively working. So if Triple H was actively working, he would be the best. But now, since he's not, Randy's clearly the best after he's done nothing but damage people since he got back. I don't know what Ric Flair's watching or what he likes to watch, but it's not the same thing that I like to watch on programming right now.
No, trust me, I bet Ric Flair doesn't like to watch the same stuff you do. Yeah. Ayo.
There we go.
Yeah, for somebody, I think you said it yourself, out of touch with reality, out of touch with what the people want right now. And I think Finn Balor's, I wish we had like a video of this, because Joe is, he's doing the Andrew Dice Clay adjust all of his clothing right now that he got that off his chest. I feel like, you know, if just look at the reaction that Finn Balor gets every single week. You know, what people want is the Finn Balor, the AJ Styles. They want the guys who can wrestle and can talk a little bit. But I think professional wrestling is making a comeback. The actual in-ring work, the submissions, the pins, the hanging on the edge of your seat, you know, getting yourself over in the ring. I think that's making a comeback, and I think a lot of the older guys aren't okay with that, and they prefer, look at Vader. Like, Vader and Will Ospreay is a good example. You know, people don't understand the new style of wrestling, but you know who does understand it? The WWE, because they put on the Cruiserweight Classic. And I think, that segue was actually so good that I had to stop and applaud myself for it. God, that was good! That leads us to the Cruiserweight Classic. This is the final four matches of the opening round. Everybody's favorite, your favorite, my favorite, Rich Swann, who said some mean things about me.
He did.
I'll never forget that. Rich Swann, like, called me out in the middle of an Evolve show. I wasn't doing anything wrong.
No, you simply insinuated that if he ever made it to the main roster that he would be a new member of the New Day. That's all you said.
Before it was cool, I believe I chanted "Rich Swan sucks," like the what are they? Well, the vernacular, not the vernacular, the same,
the cadence.
Like, thank you. That's what I'm looking for. The cadence of "New Day sucks." This was before people really started doing that, and the New Day were heels, and Rich Swan had just turned heel and aligned himself with Ego, Ethan Page, and in the middle of the match, he was in a headlock. He, you know, had the other guy in a headlock, and he looked at me and he told me to STFU, you effing racist. I was just like, that was rude.
That was mean.
That was mean. I'm a big Rich Swan fan. And now he comes out dancing at the Cruiserweight Classic like he's Michael Jackson, like he is somebody. Yeah, I still like Rich Swan's work. He was a good heel. I mean, he was mean, though. Remember that? He wasn't just mean to me.
He was very mean.
He was very mean to everybody, you know? He's trying. Getting over as a heel. I actually saw him spit on and punch a 3-year-old that night.
That really happened? I don't remember that part.
No, that didn't really happen. I was just kidding.
Did I get a concussion that night? Maybe that's what happened.
Maybe that's when A.R. Fox landed on you in the front row. Okay. But no, the first match, I don't know the names, the name of the guy off the top of my head. It was Rich Swann versus, I want to say, Keith Lee.
Oh, yeah, it was... Oh, shoot. Yeah, you're going to have to look it up for me. I remember his name. Jason Lee.
Jason Lee. Can okay.
Jason Lee?
Yep. Primetime Brian Lee?
Ho Ho Loon? No, that's a different guy.
That's yeah, and I'm the bad guy.
How's that? Yeah. I'm just...
Just say...
He's in the Cruiserweight Classic. He's legit.
Yep.
He won his first round match. Ho Ho Loon. He deserves a shout-out.
Did you know Ho Ho Loon... We're really getting off track here, but you know Ho Ho Loon... Ho Ho Loon pretty much sparked professional wrestling in, I believe, in Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
Yeah, he said.
Good for him.
Good for him.
Good for Ho Ho.
The first match was a showcase, pretty much, for Rich Swann. It was Rich Swann, as we said, versus Jason Lee. Went about 5 or 6 minutes. Lee did not get much offense, and he looked good. But this was really to show us who Rich Swann is. Do you know how we found out who Rich Swann is? Because Daniel Bryan told us over and over and over and over. Rich Swann farted on the way to the ring. Daniel Bryan gave it 5 stars. I love Daniel Bryan. I think him and Mauro had a great first week commentary. I think since then it has been way over the top. Especially in the Zack Sabre match. He landed a hip toss and Daniel Bryan sold it like he just Frankensteined somebody from Mount Everest.
He definitely marked out like a little girl during the Zack Sabre Jr. match. That's for sure. He was all about the submissions and the reversals and stuff like that. I mean, which again, don't get me wrong.
Oh my God! Yeah, my God!
It's very impressive that Sabre does that type of stuff, especially if you're into that style. But I, you know, it's a little bit. Yeah, you pump the brakes.
Deeper, yeah, right. That's, not every. I appreciate. I mean, he does it because he's excited, he's trying to get it over, and I understand. But it just, man, it was too much. So long story short of that match, Rich Swann. Finished with a standing 450. He won. The next match was really, really bad. I'm not going to mince words.
Noam Dar.
Yeah, versus the Wet Bandit, Gurb Shira. It was just a really tough match. They traded holds and whatever. Noam Dar. He finished it with... They called it a knee bar, but it wasn't even a knee bar because he was on the side of the knee and he had him in a straight ankle lock. But whatever. I didn't go to doctor school. Dicks. The third match was Jack Gallagher versus Fabian Eichner. Sorry, Cruiserweight my tuchus.
Yeah.
The dude's built like Bull Dempsey. Not Bull Dempsey. Who was I thinking of? Bull Buchanan.
Bull Nakano.
Bull Buchanan, man. God.
B2?
This dude is huge. I don't know. He makes 200. Unless he's 1'9", there's no way he's 205 pounds. But Jack Gallagher, picture a ginger vaudevillian. There you go, and that's Jack Gallagher. He's got that English style, and I like that match. It was a really good back and forth match, and it was big guy versus little guy. Except the big guy can pull off a springboard lion salt. You know, it was really, really good. Gallagher wound up getting him hit him with I think it was like a hesitation high drop kick to the face for the win. And then the main event was... Joe, do you know who won this match? I don't want to spoil it for you.
I do know who won
this match. Okay, Joe didn't get to watch it yet, so I
intended to watch it. I'm an old man. I fell asleep in the middle of Cruiserweight Classic. I got to watch the rest of it over the weekend. That's the shoot. I got to let everybody know.
That's why I'm kind of holding down the fort here.
Yeah.
The main event of the mismatch was this event was Tommy? Really? I just call him Tommy Ciampa. It's Tommaso Ciampa versus Johnny Gargano.
Maybe you guys are buddies.
Yeah, me and T-Bomb. You know, Gargano versus Ciampa was awesome match, and probably my favorite match so far in the Cruiserweight Classic. Ciampa worked as the kind of bullish heel the entire match, and Gargano played the face in peril, the Ricky Morton special, if you will. It was a really good match. There were some brutal spots. Ciampa hit an air raid crash on the apron. He hit him with what do you more call it, a powerbomb backbreaker. It's Project Ciampa. It was his finisher. And you know, Ciampa hit him with all the spots, and Gargano kept getting up, and he ended it with a roll up. Teased a little bit of tension in the end, and then Ciampa came back and he got back in the ring and he raised Gargano's hand. But man, what a good match. And that really set the tone. I don't have the bracket in front of me, so I don't know who's going to face who the next week. But all I know is if you are a fan of wrestling, watch next week, Cedric Alexander versus Kota Ibushi.
Yeah, that match has gotten really good reviews from the folks that were in the arena watching it. So I'm pretty excited to watch that one next week.
Me too.
Can I talk about Impact now? What do you want to go NXT?
Did you watch NXT?
I did watch NXT. There wasn't a whole lot of note in it other than...
No, I really didn't...
It was mostly... it was the Revival versus TM61. The Revival ended up winning that, and they set up a tag title match against Gargano and Ciampa. They officially have Bayley facing Asuka at the Brooklyn show in August. Asuka's kind of playing a little heelish.
Yeah, she now. Definitely...
They have a contract signing next week between the two of those two. And Samoa Joe continues to be unhappy about the fact that he has to face Nakamura for the title at SummerSlam. He attacked your friend and mine, Mojo Rawley.
Yeah, he should be unhappy that Mojo Rawley got the better of him. That's what I would probably be upset about.
So there was... I think those are the main points of NXT this week. So.
Yeah. I had high hopes for the main event. I thought it was okay.
It was okay, yeah. I mean, yeah. I like the finish. I like the way that the Revival kind of does that.
Oh, I that. Yeah, I forgot about that too. The whole chase him around.
He was chasing around like he ran into like a real quick DDT, and he pinned him off of that. Like I thought that was.
That reminds me of I forget what it was. I think it was Halloween Havoc 91. Yeah, I know I'm a nerd. Maybe it was Halloween Havoc 90. Somebody had Jimmy Garvin rolled up, and Michael P.S. Hayes walked in, stuck him with the DDT, and got the clean pin. You know, I love stuff like that. I love. The out of nowhere kind of finish, and he hits an impactful move. He hops on him real quick. He doesn't wait around and celebrate. It gets a 1-2-3. It's more realistic. I think it was a great finish. Good call. Okay,
Impact next. Am I
good? Yeah, go. All you,
I've been itching all night.
I'm gonna as they call it, lay out. I didn't watch it back, so I can't tell you. I will give my thoughts from afar. Go ahead, big guy.
No, yeah, I won't go into the whole. Nitty-gritty of the show, per se. I guess, again, two main points I'll hit on from Impact this week. So they have been doing what they're calling a Bound for Glory playoff, which is basically an eight-man tournament.
So there's no Bound for Glory series matches this year?
Correct.
Just a cool, because that tournament ran like 9 months last year.
Yeah,
I had three children in the amount of time it took me to
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. They got birthdays coming up?
Garv and Murray.
Oh, okay. They have birthdays coming up. Do I need to get gifts?
Yeah. The one of them wants WWE 17. The other one wants Madden 17, and the other one wants NHL 17.
I'm just gonna get him some Young Bucks T-shirts. How's that work?
There's Young Bucks have an app. It's a video game app now.
Oh really?
Yeah. Let's go like Young Bucks Save the World or something. So. And by the way, I don't have kids, and they don't want that. I want those games. So if anybody wants to donate. To the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast GoFundMe. Forget about donating to Joe's subscription in New Japan World, which he's not going to get anymore. Just buy me video games.
That seems fair.
That's fair.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Bound for Glory playoff, the finals were tonight. It was EC3 against Mike Bennett, the Miracle, our buddy. The guy we had dinner with him on Fridays.
Yeah.
Few weeks
ago. Yeah. That's
how I remember it.
It's like a game of telephone. That's, yeah, that's overstating.
That's what happened.
We saw each other in the urinal.
So, yeah, no, that's this is all
cross swords.
Legitimate.
We fist bumped with our fists.
Well, EC3 ended up winning the main event, unfortunately. So, he is in now in the Bound for Glory final, Bound for Glory main event against Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley, who I will say, so he is now the world's champion and X Division champion after he beat Eddie Edwards and, no, he was. Eddie Edwards, and then he beat Zima, DJ Zima, I think, last week in a ladder match. I don't know, Vinny Russo booking, I guess.
Are they doing ladder matches every week?
It's crazy. But anyway, he's the world champion and exhibition champion. On tonight's show, James Storm defeated Eli Drake for the King of the Mountain championship, the prestigious King of the Mountain title.
What the hell is that?
It was formerly the TNA Television Championship. It was formerly the TNA Legends Championship. And it is now the TNA King of the Mountain Championship.
Is that ugly red belt?
Correct.
Nice.
So James Storm won that from Eli Drake tonight. And then after that was over, Bobby Lashley challenged James Storm to a match where he put his titles on the line against Storm's, because basically Lashley's trying to get all the championships for himself. So next week, that's the main event. It's Bobby Lashley and James Storm with all three of those titles on the line. And I guess, I don't know if the winner of that will then ultimately face EC3 at Bound for Glory in October for their championship.
Are any of them going to wrestle Eli Drake?
I hope so. I don't know.
So you can hear the promo? Dummy. It drives me crazy.
A lot of dummies.
Dummy. Was it a good episode? Was it a bad episode? Tell me how you felt.
It was okay. They didn't... You know, the main event was... solid. There's a lot of shenanigans in it, yeah, but that's kind of the norm for TNA.
It's kind of the norm dar, right?
There you go.
Nice.
It was a solid match. EC3 won, so he's in the main event of Bound for Glory. No Drew Galloway. They just had a little video of him from after last week where he lost to Bennett in the main event. It was a semifinal match in the tournament, and it was due in part to interference from unintentional costing of the match from EC3. So he's kind of mad at EC3. So I'm not sure what's going to happen with that. There's a little bit of a intertwining story there with Drew Galloway being unhappy with EC3 inadvertently costing him a match. So that was the main part of it. There's some weird stuff going on I won't get to with like Bram and Rosemary from the Decay. And
she throwing up on him again? Like
I don't know.
Peeing in his mouth or whatever.
There's some stuff. They're in some woods and she's telling him a story. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on there. Eddie Edwards came out during the main event because Moose is aligned with Mike Bennett, and Moose came out at one point to try to interfere, and like Eddie Edwards like ran down the aisle into the ring and did a crazy flip dive onto Moose on the outside of the ring, and then they brawled into the crowd.
Nice.
So there's some stuff going on there with that, but it was an okay episode. They're advancing it. At least they're building the Bound for Glory, which is still 2 months away, so I give them credit for that. So not a bad show, but it's an easy watch because it's only 2 hours, and if you have it on DVR, especially the commercials, you can get
about
through
25
pretty,
minutes
pretty easily. Yeah.
Was there any Davey Richards on the show?
I didn't notice Davey Richards. There was some Al Snow, and I fast forwarded through that. I can tell you that for sure.
So no Davey Richards.
I didn't notice Davey Richards. Gotcha.
Ring of Honor. You know, it's funny you should say Moose. First time in recent memory I can remember somebody being on Ring of Honor TV and Impact TV at the same time. So that was pretty interesting. Ring of Honor. It was...
He beat, Mike Posey or something like that in an essential...
Mike Posey, is he the rapper? He's cooler than you? If I could write you a song to make you...
P. Diddy?
Okay, Joe, you know one rapper. It's not always P. Diddy.
It's not?
No. Well, he's going to be on Raw next week, so...
There you go. See? Circle of Life.
The Circle of Life. Ring of Honor is doing a lot too for the Jay Lethal versus the Bullet Club storyline. I really love what they're doing with that storyline. There's not much going on in Ring of Honor. They're making great matches, but with only 1 hour a week on TV, you're really only going to get the focal point, which of the main event, and that's what it's going to be for Death Before Dishonor.
Yes.
Yes. It's Adam Cole versus Jay Lethal. Last week, Adam Cole interrupted the Jay Lethal versus Kyle O'Reilly match, beat the hell out of Kyle O'Reilly. Jay Lethal wrestled a beaten-down Kyle O'Reilly, didn't want to do it, had a complete face turn, and took it easy on him for a little bit, and then kind of had some fighting spirit at the end. It was a good match. After the match, Adam Cole comes out, taunts him, leading to Nigel McGuinness saying, Adam Cole's never going to get another title match ever again. Thus, this week, Jay Lethal comes out, and the main event becomes Jay Lethal and the Briscoe Brothers versus Adam Cole and the Bullet Club. Awesome, awesome match. Fantastic match. Really enjoyed it. They did a spot where Mark Briscoe gets hurt, and then it leads to the finish. Jay Lethal actually gets the pin on, I believe, Matt Jackson, which was good. Afterwards, to really turn the clock back and go old school mid-80s wrestling, they shaved Jay Lethal's head, and they cut off his cornrows, which have been a staple for Jay Lethal for literally as long as I can remember. You know, so I thought that was an awesome way to get some old school heat on the match, and I really think they're gonna tear the house down at Death Ford's Honor.
I'm sure. Yeah, no doubt about that.
Aside from that, it was Donovan Dijak versus Moose. Dijak went over clean via pin, which was the right move because Moose kind of, you know, did the job leaving the quote-unquote territory, putting the other guy over. Awesome big man match, and I don't think there are two more athletic guys for their size than Moose and Dijak. Dijak especially. The springboard dives the guy does, he's got to be 6'8", 6'9", and he was, you know, lifted up Moose like it was no problem, and he beat him clean with the... what the heck is the name of his finisher? It's a torture rack into the go to sleep. I forget the name of it, but
he's like an inverted, right? Go to sleep.
Yeah. And I can't find it. Anyway, long story short, they look
feast
like they're...
Feast your eyes.
Feast your eyes on Joe and his knowledge of wrestling. God. And actually, Michael Elgin's wrestling Donovan Dijak coming up at
Field of Honor.
We're going to be there, yeah. So I think this might be the... hopefully it's a big push for Dijak, but I also hear his contract's expiring too. So.
In September, yeah, so they better figure that out.
Lots of contract expiration going on. But it was a good episode of Ring of Honor TV. It was, you know, about an hour long, and you got 30 minutes of wrestling, so there's not much more you can ask for. And a really good promo from Jay Lethal.
You know what?
What?
This was a good episode of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast, too. I was throwing that out there.
Yeah, it was.
God, about an hour long, some good wrestling talk.
Yeah, hour long and about 30 minutes of listenable stuff. So yeah, really about the same Ring of Honor TV. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to touch on this week? Oh, let me ask you something. Impact, Raw, and SmackDown. Which show did you find to be most enjoyable?
Probably SmackDown, I would say.
Would you give Impact like an A++++ with your easy grading system?
No, Mike, that is not what I gave Impact.
It's okay. I'm just a jerk for not giving A pluses.
I would say a C plus for Impact.
C plus for Impact.
I gave SmackDown a B minus. I gave Impact a C plus. I gave Raw a C.
That's really generous for Raw. I feel like you're
letting it a C minus, bro.
Yeah, I'm just.
That's
just,
literally. Like
I was
one
being
step
generous.
Down.
I was being generous. Okay, C minus.
Right. You like said that it was a steaming pile of turd earlier.
Yeah, I did because it really made me realize how much I dislike Stephanie. You know what? I think you're only grading it leniently because you appreciate Stephanie so much, both on air and off air.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I think I do. Deep down below?
I don't think you do, pal.
Deep down below, you love Stephanie. You appreciate her.
I'd love
her
to shut the...
Well, on that note, this is it's been a busy week. I feel like every week is going to be like this, so we might have to figure out a new... Maybe two episodes a week, maybe one normal episode, one half episode, something like that. My voice hurts. I was dealing with...
Can you get a little honey, a little tea?
A little tea with honey?
Yeah.
Some chamomile, some Irish breakfast.
There you go.
A little turmeric tea, a little anti-inflammatory. I'm just doing the best I can. I'm holding up. I've been helping people all day. I've been slinging vitamins all day.
Doing a great job.
Slinging Vita-Rock, you know, just... Stealing the show. You're stealing the show. You're working 27 hours, sometimes in Jersey, Guam, Venezuela, Vermont.
The Pacific Northwest. Yeah, it's all over the place.
The Pac North. Yeah. You go wherever the people need you. You know who needs you, Joe? We do. Here at the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. For myself, the Enforcer, my tag team partner over here, the Stallion, we are tapping out.